Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive. In Jesus' name. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10, the Word of God says, diverse weights, not diverse, diverse. Diverse weights and diverse measures. Both of them are alike an abomination to the Lord. Diverse weights and diverse measures. Satan tries to bring in diverse weights and diverse measures. He does this through natural reasoning, through atmospheric projections, through things like self-righteousness and those kind of components of the old sin nature. Relevant righteousness is a diverse weight and a diverse measure. The Word of God says that they that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. Why? Diverse weights and diverse measures. I cannot have a certain measure, a certain standard that is apart from the standard of God. I can have it, but it's an abomination. Yet very often it is very easy for us to enter into diverse weights and diverse measures. For example, somebody does something, I see it. And because they did that, I have something against that person now. But when I do that, I live in relevant righteousness, which is a form of self-righteousness, where I say, my righteousness right here exceeds your righteousness. And therefore, I can look down on you because you are less righteous than I am. It's a diverse weight, a diverse measure. The Word of God says that all have sinned, me included. By the way, you included. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if I have a diverse weight and a diverse measure, I have something that does not work with God. Yet, so often you see it where Christians are butting heads and fighting each other because of these diverse weights and diverse measures. In Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 1, Satan stood with the sons of God, those were the angels, before God. And he accused Joshua the high priest. And he said about Joshua, he has the wrong garments. He has filthy garments. And this is not acceptable. He is not the way he ought to be, God, in order to live up to your standards of holiness. And what did God say to Satan? He said, the Lord rebuke you. You see, interestingly enough, as Satan was trying to use diverse weights and diverse measures against Joshua, God was not willing to use diverse weights and diverse measures against Satan. This is where one third of the host of heaven fell in Ezekiel 28. Because they use diverse weights and diverse measures. All of a sudden, the standard that was established by God was changed. And it was no longer established that God is holy. It was now established in heaven by Satan, who was at the time Lucifer, and one third of the angels, that God was judgeable. That you could evaluate him on the basis of something external that they did not understand. By the way, never evaluate God on the basis of the external. You don't have that much intelligence. Lucifer did not have that much intelligence. God is not to be evaluated by my experiences or my circumstances. God's character is not to be judged. Period. Much less to be judged by my circumstances or external situation. I cannot apply those standards to God. Why? First of all, He is God, I am not. But as Lucifer put himself above God in his evaluation of God, sometimes we believers can try to do the same thing. When we say something like, God is not faithful. God is not who the Bible says He is. That God doesn't really love me. That God doesn't really accept me. That God's promises are not all yea and amen. That He is not faithful who called you, who will also do it. That is an evaluation of God. A diverse weight and a diverse measure. It didn't work well for Lucifer. It will not work well for any human. I don't have the intelligence required to put myself in that place. If I think I do, then God will quickly show me otherwise. Because I will find that one thing after another is not according to my thinking. God is who He says He is. And the Bible clearly tells us who He is. He is no one other than that. The Bible defines us. The Bible defines our circumstances. All I do is accept what the Bible tells me. Now, the Bible is not open to private interpretation. In other words, I don't read a passage and say, on the basis of my own experiences, I interpret this passage this way. I see, I didn't exactly realize that you knew the end from the beginning and that you were all-knowing and all-powerful. Excuse me. We all go there though. Every one of us. We all go there. Where we try to question the things of God on the basis of what we can see. And God says, you're blind. When the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the conviction of realities unseen. It didn't offer sight. Sight had nothing to do with it. It offered one thing and one thing only. Faith. Now faith will not come in an experiential manner in any practical manifestation in my life apart from the cross. Because the natural man's tendency is always to try to evaluate by sight. This is why when Satan approached Eve, he approached on the basis of sight. When Satan approaches us, and he will approach us, if we matter a lick within the angelic conflict, Satan will approach us. Why? You don't fool around in the enemy's backyard without him noticing. If Satan is approaching you, be complimented. That means that you are a threat to him. When Satan approaches us, he will try to approach us in one of a small handful of manners. One of them is sight. And if he can, he'll link his different strategies together just like he did with Eve and try to hook up my sight to my emotions. Because the part of Eve that was working correctly the longest was her mind. Why? She said, "Didn't God say that you will not eat of the tree?" Now her mind wasn't working terribly well because she had already started succumbing to sight and emotions. And then she said, "And you won't touch it either?" There's a little bit of emotional influence. Didn't God say that? So she was still trying to, in her mind, reflect back to what was said. It is written. But Satan got her sight. She saw the tree was pleasant for food. He got her sight to work with her emotions. She desired to be like the angels. And when her sight hooked up to her emotions, her mind and her volition were overridden. What she should have said is, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan." Now, it is feasible that she thought maybe she didn't know that the serpent was in fact Satan. But the fruit of the conversation could have revealed that to her. In other words, the evaluation of God's character based on sight and emotions was Satan's strategy against Eve. I'll tell you right now, the evaluation or attack on the character of God through sight and emotions is Satan's strategy for us. There's nothing new under the sun. He hasn't figured out anything different. He just applies it in various ways. The only way that I can approach that is to take on diverse weights and diverse measures. When I no longer have the Word of God as my frame of reference, because I've intellectualized it, or because I've tried to apply it to my emotions, or because I've tried to conform my will with it rather than having the Word of God transform who I am, when it's no longer my frame of reference, whereby the Holy Spirit could utilize it to transform me into the image of Christ, then I start living by diverse weights and diverse measures. At that point, the Lord brings a rebuke. Now, it may be a very gentle correction, or it may be a slap upside the head, depending on where my capacity is with God. But at that point, God will bring rebuke. If I say, "You have failed, therefore you are below me," I'm living in diverse weights and diverse measures. Christ said, "All have failed." And the way that God sees me is a new creation, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven and made completely clean. And if I say to somebody else, "I know what you have done," or "I see the way you are behaving," or "I see the way that you are, you are not what you ought to be in my estimation, and therefore you are below me," I am in fact elevating myself against God, against the finished work, above Him, above the blood, and saying the blood of Christ is not good enough. If I condemn myself, if I say to myself, "I am totally worthless, I am useless," that is in fact pride. "Oh no, now I'm proud." Yes, you are. That's the problem right there. Then I elevate myself above the Word of God, So instead of being condemned, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that in due time He may lift me up. What does that mean in a practical sense? I believe His Word. That's it right there. God said, you are a new creation. And that is the standard. And all of a sudden, the standard becomes my frame of reference because I've mixed faith with what I heard. And now I know that even though I may completely blow it, I'm a new creation. God said in Revelation 1:5, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And though I may completely blow it, though I may completely and utterly fall on my face, do the worst things imaginable, I am cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And that is my standard. Though I may be completely negative, though I may be completely wrong, God said I am accepted in the Beloved. And that is my standard. Do you get it? We cannot operate in diverse weights and diverse measures. I don't evaluate the finished work. I submit to the finished work. I don't evaluate the finished work. I believe the finished work. I don't evaluate the finished work. I apply the finished work. I don't see myself and I don't see anybody else except as what God says they are. Why? Because otherwise I'm elevating myself above His Word. I'm elevating myself above His character. I'm elevating myself above His blood. I'm elevating myself above Him. Lucifer found out it doesn't work real well. Diverse weights and diverse measures are an abomination to God. I have to be very careful as a believer not to get into diverse weights and diverse measures. Israel of old was to carry the gospel, but they applied diverse weights and diverse measures to the point where a Gentile was seen as lower than a dog. They would not associate with a Gentile. They wouldn't touch them. They wouldn't eat them. They would do nothing with a Gentile. Lower than a dog. Diverse weights and diverse measures. But in Isaiah 49:22, the Word of God says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hands to the Gentiles. Paul was ostracized partly because he went to the Gentiles. But the Word of God established the standard. The Word of God says, I will lift my hand to the Gentiles. Israel was given a privilege of carrying the gospel, but not for themselves, for the world. We are given the same. We are given the privilege to carry the gospel not for ourselves only, but for the world. And we stretch out our hand to the lost world because we do not apply diverse weights and diverse measures. How many believers ostracize, reject specific sins and not others? In other words, if somebody lives in greed in the business world, and sometimes is even a little bit questionable in their ethics as to how they conduct business, how many believers would say, hey, he's just doing business, good guy. But at the same time, if somebody lives in homosexuality, they'll ostracize and reject that person and won't even want to give them the gospel sometimes. Diverse weights and diverse measures. God so loved the world, He didn't put qualifications. God so loved the world, He didn't use diverse weights and diverse measures. God so loved the world. We don't use diverse weights and diverse measures. our standard is grace. That's it. Our standard is grace. Our standard for sin is the blood. Our standard for acceptance is the finished work. Our standard for righteousness is mercy. We don't use diverse weights and diverse measures. The enemy continuously tries to bring us to the place where we will change the standard, where we will say something other than finished work, something other than blood of the Lamb, something other than where sin abounds, grace does much more abound, something other than what God has said. This is why sometimes it happens to believers. Somebody's in sin and all of a sudden you can't even talk to them. Who did the Bible say that you mark and avoid? The one who causes division. Not the one who is weak and fails. But the one who causes division. Self-righteousness causes division. So really, who do I want to watch out for? I want to watch out for the self-righteous one. And although I want to guard my heart lest I be tempted in the same way as another person when I deal with someone who is weak, by the same token, I don't mark and avoid them. What do? I do what God said He did for the Gentiles. He lifts up a standard. He lifts up a standard. What is the standard? Mercy. What is the standard? Forgiveness. What is the standard? Grace. How does God deal with me? Mercy. How does God see me? After the blood. Who am I? I'm a new creation. What have I done? Nothing. How can you say it? Well, ask God. When He says, I remember your sins and trespasses no more. I remove them as far as the east is from the west. How often will we have our own sins and trespasses removed as far as the east is from the west, but another person forget it? Isn't that what happens sometimes? Sure it is. Diverse weights and diverse measures. Or likewise, some people... Another person I can forgive. Myself, forget it. I can't forgive myself. Why? Because you still think there's something righteous in you and that you should have lived up to something like you had the ability, contrary to the Word of God. That's just pride. No, the standard is finished work. That's God's standard. Finished work. That's it right there. That's why the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That's why in Hebrews 4:3 the works were finished before the foundation of the world. It's God's standard. In Isaiah 55:19, in the B part of the verse, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Now, I love the next verse. It tells us what that standard is. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, and henceforth forever. What is he talking about? He is talking about the word of grace. He's talking about the finished work, the work of the Redeemer that was sent to Zion. He's talking about the gospel. In Isaiah 62:10, go through the gates, prepare ye the way for the people, cast up cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard for the people. What is the highway? The gospel. It's the finished work. I don't think apart from the finished work. If I say my experience doesn't agree, then let God be true and every man a liar. Perhaps I don't have the intelligence to evaluate God's mind. We try it, but only to our detriment. I don't have the intelligence to judge grace. I don't, get this, I don't have the intelligence to judge the plan of God. What do I do with the plan of God? I receive it. When was it established? From the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. So what do? I receive the plan, I don't determine the plan. I'm led into the plan, I don't figure out the plan. Why? I'm not that intelligent. I don't apply diverse weights and diverse measures to the plan of God. I don't apply diverse weights and diverse measures to the will of God. I don't apply diverse weights and diverse measures to the ways of God. For crying out loud, half the people in the Bible would be nowhere if my standard was the standard. Where in the world would Abraham get off being the father of the faith? David, the patriarch, the second in command in the millennium. That guy was vile. Where in the world would Moses ever be a leader of Israel after being a murderer and a coward? By the way, the cowardliness didn't disappear. After 40 years on the backside of the desert meeting God face to face, he said, but I have a speech impediment. How can I go to Pharaoh? He was still a coward. If I were to apply a human standard to God's plan, nobody in the Bible would go anywhere. Young people, you don't apply your own standards to your lives. You don't apply your own understanding to your lives. Whether it's your call, whether it's your school, whether it's your employment, whether it's relationship, no matter what it is, you don't apply your own standards. You enter into a call. You receive God's plan for your life. You don't determine God's plan for your life. Why not? It's already been determined. Done deal. You don't need to waste your time. It's already been done. Trying to reinvent the wheel without the ability to do so. Your standard is not necessarily God's. How many young men want to be pastors? I'll tell you right now, and I love being a pastor, but if you want to be a pastor without the call, you are insane. You don't know what you're talking about. You used to hear Pastor Stevens say that. It used to kind of make me like, because I already knew I had a call. So God, take your time. You don't apply your own standards. Diverse weights and diverse standards are an abomination to the Lord. What is my standard? Here I am, Lord. That's it. I'm not going to even add send me because maybe I'm not sending away. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know. What is my standard? Here I am, Lord. That's it. What did Samuel say? Here I am, Lord. That's it. Arguably the greatest prophet that Israel had ever known. What did he say when he got a call? Here I am, Lord. He didn't say, okay, I have to go figure it out. No, he just said, here I am. There's my standard. What's your standard for a life with God? Here I am. How many people will say, okay, God says, I want you to stay put. Like, aren't we taught often, isn't that our mentality? Great adventure. Here I am, Lord. But if God says, have a great adventure right where you are. There He is, Lord. Or maybe God calls you somewhere like Pastor Matthew was saying. God calls you somewhere you don't want to go, like the Muslim world. So many Christians don't want to go to the Muslim world. God sends somebody, not me. Or maybe God just wants you to be a cook in the local assembly where you serve the believers, whereby many other things could happen. Is that so glamorous? No, it's not really glamorous. Are you available? Or is that a different standard? Is that kind of service to God less valuable than being the preacher or the missionary or the song leader or whatever else? Maybe you're called to pray and you have to do it in a closet where nobody sees you and there is no glory in it. Is that of lesser value? To touch the throne of God? How many believers do not see prayer as glamorous because they don't realize they're touching the throne? How many believers do not see as that which is setting up the seats before church? That's not glamorous. Tearing them down after church, that's not glamorous. Really? Whatsoever you've done unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Whatsoever your hand finds to do it with all your might, you do what you do unto the Lord. It's not glamorous. You know what? You can have your glamorous. It leads nowhere. I'll take the standard that God established. You know why God said, don't despise the day of small things? Because the day of big things is coming and He wants to see how you'll do with it. The person who despises the day of small things, what's the day of small things? What I consider not glamorous. Ah, waiting on a call. Waiting on a relationship, young people. Waiting on someone to change. For God to work in their heart. Waiting on an answer to prayer. Not glamorous. But it's the day of small things. If I can't wait, if I can't do something as simple as that, and we've all been there. If it's you, don't get condemned. We've all been there. But if I can't wait, how am I going to deal with the thing that's a bigger challenge? The waiting part's the easy part. The bigger challenge is coming and you're being prepared in the process. Have you ever seen a soldier who's never been trained? You know where you find them? In the cemetery. If I don't wait, which is God's training process, how am I going to do anything else? If I despise the day of small things, how am I going to enter into the day of great things? not possible. The small things are my training ground. Didn't Jesus say you are faithful in little, you're given much? Right? 10 cities, 5 cities. What if I'm not faithful in little? Then what I seem to have is taken away from me. And then I go through the waiting process again, or training, or day of small things. God's not going to quit on you. But He's not going to let you go out into a battlefield untrained. What does the military do if you can't meet the standards? You get recycled back into the training. Why? They're not going to send a soldier out to get killed. Simple. God has a standard. The standard is the finished work. The standard is His call, His ways, His plan, His time, His will. Not mine. This is why Jesus, of all people, if anyone had the right to get impatient, the Savior says to the Father, "Thy will, not mine, be done." He and the Father were one. He could have said, "Now." He said, "Thy will, not mine, be done." There was a standard. God's standards are where I find my protection, my provision, my call, everything that I desire in my life. I find it in God's standards. Amen?